The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
As the announcer of this show, I sometimes ask myself, to what shall I compare Eric? Shall I compare him to a summer's day? Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May.
But not Eric. I'll tell you, nothing shakes this guy.
And now here he is, wearing green leotards and a jester's coxcomb, Eric Metaxas.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Thank you, Todd. Todd was getting Shakespearean. He's an actor.
Ew.
But very few people know he has that kind of range because he really doesn't. Okay, now listen.
Yes.
We've got a lot to talk about.
We do.
First of all, number one, today is
Flag Day.
Flag Day.
Yes.
Today is Flag Day.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know about Flag Day. For some reason, Flag Day is very important to me. I think I know why. If you have read my book, If You Can Keep It, one of the most moving passages in there, at least I find it moving because it happened to me and I tear up when I think about it, is when I was 9 years old. I was in fifth grade in Mrs. Saul's fifth grade class at Beaver Brook Elementary School in Danbury, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
Beaver Brook was there since the 30s. Mrs. Saul taught there since the 30s. So this was her last year. I guess she turned 70 that year. It was her last year, and this would have been June 14th, 1973. And she called all the kids out to the flagpole in the front of the school, and Mr. Piccarello, who was my trumpet teacher, he played taps he had a silver cornet, and we stood around the flag, and I think we sang My Country Tis of Thee. And it was one of these holy moments from childhood that's so beautiful, it's so moving, it touches you forever. To this day,
yeah.
I think of Flag Day every single year because one great teacher, Mrs. Saul, taught us about Flag Day. I've never heard about Flag Day after that. It's not a big thing in Connecticut, but for Mrs. Saul, who was teaching in the 30s and 40s and 50s and, you know, well, actually not the 30s, probably from the 40s or the 50s onward, but she wanted to tell all of these fifth graders in her class, in her last class, about Flag Day. And it was so moving that every June 14th, I get a little misty-eyed because it's Flag Day, and
yeah.
I'm happy to talk about it.
Yeah, and I love it too. My dad would always have a picnic on Flag Day. He fought.
That's incredible.
In World
I mean,
War
really,
II.
That's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah,
your father.
Yeah, he was
celebrated
a
Flag Day.
Right.
Well,
he was a World War II veteran, and where I grew up in Pittsburgh, Reserve Township, everybody had their flags out, and it was a day actually you did celebrate. Now, you know, it goes back because the flag was actually designed on this day back in 1777. And in 1877, 100 years later, it became an official day on the American calendar, Flag Day.
I love
day.
When you're coming yeah. up with the fun facts
yes.
on Thursday,
yes.
a day early.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you see, now this is actually something I had forgotten. The reason we celebrate Flag Day, June 14th, is that, as you just said, in 1777, officially, this is when the flag was accepted. I can't
yes,
remember the details.
Right. There was a design. The stars and the stripes became the official design. It was like, okay, put a stamp of approval on that one. Okay,
boom.
Boys, run it up the flagpole.
Oh.
Okay.
I see what you did there. That was clever.
By the way,
so 100 years later.
Yeah, that's when
it was 1877 was when it officially became a holiday.
Yeah, a national holiday on the calendar. By the way, I didn't know you played trumpet. You're going to have to play that along with the slide whistle when I play it on there you go, on Fun Facts Friday one of these days.
Yes, I played trumpet growing up, and Mr. Piccarello was my teacher at Beaver Brook Elementary School, and I'll never forget him playing taps. It's kind of a funny thing for somebody who's just beginning to learn trumpet to see his teacher play the trumpet. You know, he had such authority. He knew how to play beautifully. It was so moving. But that's one of these mystic chords of memory that I write about in my If You Can Keep It book that just it touches your heart and makes you proud to be an American, makes you say, I love my country. I want my country to be everything that God wants it to be. And, you know, I have to say, actually, before we go, today we're doing, we always have an encore Thursday.
Yes.
In hour two. This is hour two. Obviously, in hour one, we spoke to Dr. Leonard Sachs about why gender matters. And tomorrow we speak to him about his book, Boys Adrift. Fantastic stuff. Don't miss it. But in a few minutes, we're going to have Niall Ferguson, who was one of the most interesting interviews I think we did this past year. And I said, let's reprise it. But I want to say that, you know, while we're talking about my book, If You Can Keep It and Loving Your Country, it's one of the reasons that we have one of our sponsors on the program is Hillsdale. So we've got a website, MetaxasForHillsdale.com, MetaxasForHillsdale.com. If you're interested in this country and in the concept of American exceptionalism, and actually you want to learn about it, not just accept it as a concept, but find out if it's true, you can go to MetaxasForHillsdale.com. They're actually offering a course on the Constitution, a full college course, online course taught by Hillsdale professors. I just love this. This is free to folks who listen to this program. You have to register for it, but just go to MetaxasForHillsdale.com and register.
Yeah, something great for
that.
For Flag Day, sign on
for
up.
For Flag Day, sign up today. You'll
yes.
remember. But
yes.
it really, it's just a great thing, MetaxasForHillsdale.com. I have to say, you know, since we're speaking about the government, the Constitution, in a couple of hours, I don't know, it may be out now, like it's kind of, some people get it first and then it gets made public or whatever, but like right about now, as we're talking, the IG report is coming out.
Yes.
That's the independent, what is it? IG report. The IG report stands for, I was going to say the AG is the Attorney General, the IG that's pathetic. I can't remember.
Oh, gosh.
This.
I know. There's a fun fact for you. What does IG stand for?
No. But I mean, anyway,
yeah.
the point
report.
Is that it's coming out.
The big report.
The big IG report is
yes.
coming out like now. And I wish we could come back in a couple of hours to talk about it, but we can't. I guess maybe tomorrow we can get a chance or next week. But this is a big thing. I don't know if anybody who listens to this program has been following the news, but Rod Rosenstein, you know, who's the acting attorney general, lately a number of the congressmen, like Devin Nunes and others, said that he a few months ago he threatened their young staff members. These are like 25-year-olds, so seriously that they were literally shaking in their offices because he had threatened them that he's going to subpoena their emails and all this kind of like really bullying stuff from the acting attorney general.
Wow.
to staffers, like to intimidate them. If that is true, he's going to have to resign or he's going to be fired. I mean, I have to say, this is big stuff. You know, when this is why it's important we understand the Constitution, because how our democracy works, when you have trouble like this, you've got to know what are the rules. What are the rules,
right,
with regard to our Constitution? What does separation of powers mean? And when you're trying to have congressional oversight, you know, on an investigation, which is exactly what Devin Nunes and others are trying to do, this is called the separation of powers. Congress and the Republicans, of course, are the majority in Congress. They have not just the authority, but the obligation to do oversight, you know, as a branch
right.
of the American government. And it's just fascinating to me that here you have an independent counsel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, you have an attorney general who is, he doesn't seem to get that. It's kind of weird. Anyway, it's going to be very interesting. So watch the news today. I want to mention before we go, we're going to come back with Niall Ferguson, tremendous interview. But we really, yesterday, we raised, I guess, about $6,000 or $7,000
yes.
more on Open Doors. We need to still do a lot better. So I want to say, folks, please, I know there are folks out there who can give a lot and who have a heart for the persecuted church.
Mm-hmm.
If that's you, we'll throw it out there again that anybody who can give $10,000, we would be so grateful. This is very, very important, and I know there are folks who can do that. But whatever you can give, I want to encourage you. $100 gets you, or $90 rather, gets you a subscription to Metaxas Super, and on and on and on. There's all that stuff on the website, but you have to go to MetaxasTalk.com, not EricMetaxas.com, MetaxasTalk.com.
Real quick, can I say, IG is Inspector General.
That's, see, Inspector General, not independent, Inspector General. Albin, you kill me, man. You've got the facts. You
Thank
got the Flag
you.
Day facts.
Yes.
You got everything. Okay, we'll be back with Niall Ferguson. This is great.
Song.
You know, I've never told anybody my story.
Bring home the number one inspirational movie of the year, I Can Only Imagine, now on DVD. With 3 hours of extras, including a behind-the-scenes look at Mercy Me and more. The story behind the beloved song that inspired millions.
My dad was a monster, and I saw God transform him, and so I wrote this song for my dad.
I Can Only Imagine. Available now on DVD, Blu-ray, and digital. Rated PG.
My business is at stake because the government told me I can't live out my faith in the workplace.
I was arrested for handing out the U.S. Constitution on my college campus.
A state law is forcing me to advertise for abortion.
Hey, it's Eric Metaxas. I want to make sure you know about something important we're up against today. Our most fundamental freedoms are under attack, and these very attacks can happen in your business, school, or even where you volunteer. We need you to act right now to protect not only your freedom, but also the freedom of your kids and grandkids. Go to MetaxasTalk.com and click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner to find out how you can join the fight. We can't let opponents of freedom dictate our futures. Alliance Defending Freedom argues some of the most critical cases in our courts today. With your help, we'll continue fighting these important battles. Please go to MetaxasTalk.com, click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner, or call 800-556-2770. That's 800-556-2770.
Bob Jones University is committed to providing an outstanding, regionally accredited Christian liberal arts education, purposely designed to inspire a lifelong pursuit of learning, loving, and leading. Our highly credentialed faculty are committed to inspiring students both in and out of the classroom. That's why Bob Jones University pre-med graduates are accepted to med school within 1 year of graduation at double the national average. Visit bju.edu or call 800-252-6363 to find out more. That's bju.edu or 800-252-6363.
Hi, this is Rhett Rasmussen of BestHotGrill.com. We make the Solaire Infrared Grills with one of the largest offerings of grills and accessories. Our mini, anywhere, and everywhere portables are perfect for tailgating and grilling on the go. Our best-selling 27XL is the convergence of price and size. The 36-inch is the size most often specified by kitchen designers, and the Solaire 56-inch is the largest all-infrared grill on the market. Solaire makes accessories like griddles and steamer fryers to enhance your backyard grilling experience. Solaire also has an extensive offering of doors, drawers, and bartending centers to complete your outdoor kitchen. All Solaire infrared grills feature the efficient Solaire infrared burner that heats up fast, locks in the juices, and makes you wonder why you'll ever want to eat out again. Learn more at BestHotGrill.com. That's BestHotGrill.com. Solaire infrared at BestHotGrill.com.
Do you know that a recent politician once asked, "I've wondered at times what the Ten Commandments would have looked like if Moses had run them through the U.S. Congress." That's a quote from Ronald Reagan, of course. He showed us through his life, his faith, and with his words that Judeo-Christian values and principles still matter. You can help spread the legacy of Ronald Reagan, and you can do it by getting a Reagan email address. Right now, if you have a Gmail, AOL, Yahoo, or other big tech company email address, you help them market their services with every email you send. In return, they scan your emails and target you with unwanted advertising. Now, thanks to our sponsor, ReaganPrivacy.com, you can instead share the Reagan name with every email you send, and they won't scan your emails. They will leave you alone. Get an email address you'll be proud to own at ReaganPrivacy.com. Your very own personal private email address is available to you at ReaganPrivacy.com. Go get your Reagan email address right now at ReaganPrivacy.com.
Oh.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm very, very excited to be speaking this hour with one of the world's most renowned historians. I promised you we would get a renowned historian on this program. As you know, I tried and tried to get Arnold Toynbee to appear on this program. He refused, or his handlers claimed that he'd been deceased for a number of years. I don't know if that's true. All I know is we had to go to number two. Number two is somebody that I like to call Neil Ferguson. I bet you've heard of him. He's written many, many books. He is affiliated with the Hoover Institution, Stanford University, visiting professor at Tsinghua University, Beijing. He is renowned, at least in the circles in which I swim. His new book is called The Square and the Tower, Networks and Power from the Freemasons to Facebook. Neil Ferguson, welcome to this program.
Great to be with you, Eric.
It's terrific to have you on. I want to talk to you about anything, really, but principally your new book, and it's brand new. Tell us, what's the thesis of this book?
The thesis is that we should understand world history in terms of the interplay and sometimes the struggle between networks and hierarchies, between social networks and structures of power. And I called it The Square and the Tower to conjure up the image of, the town of Siena in Italy, actually, where you've got this wonderful juxtaposition of a looming tower where the government of the Republic of Siena was once housed, and the great square, the Piazza del Campo, where ordinary Sienese people mix, socialize, sell things to one another, play sports, even ride horses. So in history, you can find, wherever you look, a constant interplay between the square and the tower. What we do in the town square when we're socializing, and what happens in the tower where power is located.
Well, that sounds... It's funny that you came up with that. Is that a phrase that's been used before? Because it seems extremely apt.
No, and I was kind of surprised to find it didn't already have some ownership stuck on it. I mean, I certainly was casting around for a title, and I knew I couldn't call it Networks and Hierarchies. I wanted to kind of get at the historical context of our present predicament. I mean, I like to write history books that illuminate the present. And I kept being struck by the interplay between Silicon Valley and the Trump campaign. And that interplay continues. Every now and again, you'll have the president tweeting about Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg writing some earnest Facebook post in response. I think the great struggle of our time is going to be between the social networks that have been empowered online by platforms like Facebook and the traditional structures of power in Washington, D.C. and elsewhere. And by the way, that's not just an American story. If you go to China, where I was just a couple of weeks ago, the big question is, what's the relationship between the Chinese Communist Party that's run the country since 1949 and the Chinese network companies, technology companies like Baidu, Alibaba, Tencent? There, it looks as if big data is essentially going to be at the disposal of the government. In other words, the hierarchy rules and the networks serve it. Here, I think there's much more conflict, and Silicon Valley would like very much not to be subordinated to the federal government, as it very nearly was at the time when the National Security Agency was taking data from the technology companies in the prison program. So I think that's the big tension of our time, but my book says, hey, it's nothing new. This is essentially what was going on 500 years ago when a man you know well, Martin Luther, decided to challenge the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church. If he hadn't had the printing press at his disposal, he'd probably have failed. But with the printing press, he could go viral and transform Western Christendom.
Well, it really is extraordinary when you realize that freedom isn't something that works very easily, and that there are times when you can have a death grip, whether it's a fascist totalitarian state or anything. The church and the state in the late Middle Ages, that they can really crush freedom. But freedom, like truth, eventually will out, and somehow capillaries are formed and they do an end run around the veins or the arteries. And it happens over and over again. I have to say, I'm very concerned right now with the technology companies, Google and Facebook and YouTube and so on and so forth. They seem to have power that is unprecedented, and that they can do things that really are harming freedom in the larger sense. I don't know if you deal with that in the book.
I do. I think one of the most extraordinary developments of our time is the fundamental transformation of the public sphere, to the point that on Facebook, Americans are now getting 45% of their news. People are heavily reliant on these platforms for information. They automatically use Google to search for information. And this is a huge transformation and a great concentration of power in relatively few hands. It's not just that these companies have a duopoly on online advertising, which is what tends to get talked about. It's the fact that they also are our principal information sources, with nearly half of Americans getting their news from Facebook.
Well, right. I was just going to say
that is an enormous amount of power,
yeah.
and yet these companies say, no, we're not content publishers, we're just tech platforms, so we don't need to be subject to the same constraints that regular publishers are subject to.
Well,
and
right,
that's got to be wrong.
Anybody with common sense can see through that immediately. I would like to think that a Supreme Court justice could see through it even quicker. The problem to me is that these are unprecedented things, and they're difficult to understand the way we understand things traditionally. But it seems that trust busting or breaking up these monopolies has to be on the agenda for people who are forward thinking. When you think about where we might be in 10 or 20 years, you have to think that the power that these Silicon Valley mandarins are accreting, it's just kind of it's disturbing, and it strikes me as strange that we're not talking about this more.
Well, the way I would put it is that Mark Zuckerberg, whether he meant to or not, has become the most powerful publisher in American history, much more powerful than William Randolph Hearst at the height of his power.
Wow, yeah.
Because Facebook has become such an indispensable source of information for people. And the question is, can you break up giant technology companies the way Standard Oil once upon a time was broken up, or for that matter, AT&T? My sense is that will be difficult. And when antitrust actions are brought, which I could imagine happening under, say, a future Democratic administration, I think they would probably be defeated. Certainly, you can tell when you talk to people in Silicon Valley that they're not worried. They think that they can win antitrust actions. And that's why I tend to think that's not the right solution. In some ways, there are natural monopolies in technology. We don't need multiple competing search engines. We want the one that really works best. That was Google, so everybody
But not if it has its thumb on the scales. That's the right? In other words,
right.
And I guess I don't understand why you think the Democrats would be in favor of this and not the Republicans.
Well, I've talked to Republicans about this. So I've said, don't you worry that these companies have too much power. And by the way, the people who run them are nearly all liberals. And one day that's going to come and bite you in the backside, like in the midterms this year. And the response I get is, but we're Republicans. We do deregulation, not regulation.
But that's so simplistic, it's embarrassing.
And I know, it made me slightly roll my eyes. I think maybe the full extent of this power has not fully sunk in with many of our elected representatives, or maybe they just found that it worked to their advantage in 2016. But I think they're in for a shock, because I do think that from now on, you can expect the network platforms to lean left more aggressively, and they can do it. They can tweak the news feed algorithm however they like. If they decide to make you and me disappear, they can do that. They can simply make us vanish from people's search results on Google. Now, I don't think that the companies are going overtly to exercise the kind of power that I'm talking about, but do they do it already subtly? Well, after Charlottesville, people were talking openly about how right it was to exclude white supremacists from the internet. And the problem is, who decides? Who decides who is alt-right and therefore should be excluded from the public sphere online? I worry a good deal about that.
I think
that issue, that is a conversation we still haven't really had in this country, and that disturbs me.
Well, what I'm more concerned about, I don't know if you know the work of Gabrielle Kubi. She's a German Catholic who has written a book on the sexual revolution, and she was banned. She did something with the Catholic Church in Germany, and they were threatened that the whole platform would be shut down. Their YouTube channel would be shut down if they didn't get rid of her video, which was far from incendiary. Dennis Prager here in the U.S. I've been part of his Prager University, and these are as anodyne. These are wonderful things. You can share them with children.
Absolutely.
There is nothing, and YouTube has caused all kinds of trouble for him. That's, to me, a stunning thing in a free society. We're going to be right back, folks. I'm talking to Neil Ferguson, the new book, The Square and the Tower. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
It's probably been about 10 years ago. I had quite a few credit cards. The interest on the cards was really high. I was making the minimum payments, but barely. And it was just getting to be too much, so I called Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They met with me, and they were able to get all of my credit cards in one lower payment.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They did help me learn how to manage my money. Now, you know, we have a house, and we're doing a lot better.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Holly, and I am debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
Your cell phone's connected to your tablet. Your tablet's connected to your laptop. Your laptop's connected to your Wi-Fi. One weak link and thieves are in.
The digital world is so connected these days, it just takes one weak link for criminals to get in. New LifeLock Identity Theft Protection now adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against the threats of today's connected world.
Your desktop's connected to your smart TV. Your smart TV's connected to your smartwatch.
Threats to your identity, like your info for sale on the dark web. And online threats to your devices, like ransomware. No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but new LifeLock with Norton detects a wide range of threats to your identity and devices. And if there's a problem, our agents will work to fix it.
Your smartwatch is connected to your video doorbell. Your video doorbell's connected to your smart lock.
Join now and for the first year, get an additional 10% off the low starting price of $7.99 per month plus applicable taxes. Go to LifeLock.com and enter promo code SMART. New LifeLock with Norton. More detection, more protection.
Hey, folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. We have the joy of speaking with Neil Ferguson. His new book is The Square and the Tower. Neil, again, welcome to the program.
It's great to be with you.
So much to talk about. We were just talking about how Google and YouTube and these other mega corporations are wielding power, and it strikes me that people like Mark Zuckerberg are not well schooled in what American style freedom actually is. That they're unaware of these things, and so they're also living in a situation where many of our political leaders are unaware of these things, and they're not holding the feet of someone with this kind of power like Mark Zuckerberg to the fire. But this is something that really concerns everybody living in a free society.
Yeah, I mean, I joke that Zuckerberg dropped out of Harvard before he took my class, and that's the problem. But
well, I guarantee serious, you, if he was there, he wouldn't have taken your class. That's my guess.
Well,
I should
you
say.
Know, he could have done, but he was taking computer science and psychology classes. And I think if you wander around Silicon Valley, you won't meet that many historians. There are a few exceptions to this rule, people who are extraordinarily well-read. But on the whole, the technology sector is dominated by people who think that history began around about the time of the Google IPO, and yeah, everything before that is the Stone Age and simply not worth studying. So part of the point of this book was to give Silicon Valley a history lesson. Now, I don't think that Mark Zuckerberg has ill intention. I think that his ideals are sincere. clear when he says that he wants to build a global community with Facebook that will solve the world's problems. I don't have any reason to disbelieve him. But what worries me is that I don't think he and those who advise him understand that the hazards of creating the giant online community that they've built, the fact that it won't necessarily be a happy, clappy community that simply shares cat videos, that it will become polarized, which it has become, into hostile camps of liberals and conservatives, or the fact that the platform can become a mechanism for transmitting fake news and extreme views. And I think that the great power that has been accumulated by companies like Facebook and Google, not to mention Twitter, is currently not well regulated at all. And it can't be unregulated. And yet, at the moment, under legislation from the mid-1990s, the network platforms are not treated the same way as regular content publishers in traditional media. They have no liability, zero liability, for the content that appears on their platforms. I think that is that's the thing that's not defensible at the moment. And that's the thing that I think has to change, and change soon.
Well, and when you talk about people like Mark Zuckerberg not having ill intentions, I don't really doubt what you say. But it's kind of like, you know, do you think Robespierre or Hitler thought they had ill intentions? In other words, when someone has power, unless he has principles, unless he understands what freedom is and why this is something that will help everyone, unless he understands that, it's only human nature to try to impose your will through the power that you have. And I think Zuckerberg and others are doing that, and they don't know that there's anything wrong with that, and there are few people to point out that there may be something wrong with that.
I mean, I'm definitely not going to draw parallels between Mark Zuckerberg and Robespierre, much less Hitler, but I do think the key issue here, and I don't doubt that they're grappling with this issue, is that there's a conflict between the kinds of responsibility and indeed civic duty that come with being such a powerful publisher of content, and the incentives to make money that, after all, must be uppermost in the minds of people running a publicly listed company.
But what he said was...
That's the key issue.
What he said, I mean, what you were saying, that he said, it's this utopianist talk, right? This idea of creating a global community. You know, it sounds like fraternité, égalité. I mean, these kinds of slogans, as though it were possible. Don't you have to have the larger conversation whether it's possible to create a global community and what that would mean and who's going to be the arbiter of the norms of the global community? These are the kinds of things that people like Mark Zuckerberg don't struggle with. And I think he would never intend to become a Robespierre. I don't even think Robespierre would intend to become a Robespierre. I just think it's the natural flow of things if you don't have deeper principles.
I think the issue here is, first of all, determining what the community standards are, because that ultimately decides who gets kicked off the platform. And I looking back on that great flurry of discussion that followed the Charlottesville episode, it was interesting how many of the tech companies seemed to regard it as self-evident that alt-right people should be excluded. And my response, as I mentioned earlier, is, well, who decides? And if it's something like the Southern Poverty Law Center, which was mentioned in the conversation, then help us all, because that's a disastrous state of affairs. In essence, it can't be up to companies like Facebook who does and who does not have access. They can't be the ones who say, well, unfortunately, you're alt-right. It's not just that they lean left and therefore they are likely to apply standards that are more punitive to conservatives. It's also, and this is the key point, that their real incentive remains generating revenue from advertising. And as long as that's the priority, what appears on Facebook is the thing that engages our interest as users, not necessarily the thing that is true, just the thing that engages our interests. And I don't see any evidence that anything that's been done or talked about since November 2016, since the election, has fundamentally changed that. That's their priority. Despite all the globaloney that gets talked in Silicon Valley, we're going to make the world a better place, everything is going to be awesome. You know, the bottom line is they need to maintain user engagement.
The bottom line is the bottom line. We've got to go to a hard break. Folks, talking to Neil Ferguson, the new book, The Square and the Tower. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. We'll be right back. Folks, this is Eric Metaxas. I think I have told you a number of times about Relief Factor. Relief Factor is something that I take. I'm a runner. I get aches and pains in my hip, in my knee, at different times. All kinds of people experience things like this. And instead of taking something toxic or something with negative side effects like ibuprofen, because people often will pop that when they feel pain, I would say don't do that. Take something that is natural, something that's made, well, Relief Factor is actually made from wild-caught fish oil and botanicals. You get it? Yes, it's not toxic. It supports the body's fight against aches and pains. These are natural anti-inflammatories. It's why I take it every single day. If I don't take it for a couple of days, I notice right away. So I take it with me on trips. ReliefFactor.com, $19.95 gets you the quick start pack for, it's a 3 weeks pack for $19.95. You'll find out if it works for you. Check it out, ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com.
Folks, I need your help. Our Christian brothers and sisters in Africa are under attack. Earlier this year, Boko Haram once again kidnapped over 100 schoolgirls. This group's presence has spread beyond Nigeria into Cameroon, Chad, Benin, other countries. In the northern part of Nigeria, militant Fulani herdsmen are continuing to use any violent means necessary to take possession of everything in their path. In other parts of Africa, Christians are being targeted by fundamentalist and extremist groups. Even in countries such as Eritrea, Somalia, Sudan, some Christians must worship in secret and they live in constant fear of being imprisoned or worse for their beliefs. So through the Ministry of Open Doors, you can provide life-saving aid and critical support such as clothing, food, medical aid, vital training, Bibles, and Christian resources to these African believers. To find out more of all the ways you can help, please go to my website, metaxastalk.com. You'll see the banner for Open Doors right at the top. Folks, they have a challenge grant of $50,000. There's no better time. I'm just asking you, please go to the website, metaxastalk.com, and click on Open Doors. Thank you.
Freedom. One nation in all of human history was built on that bedrock. Ours. A republic of the people, by the people, and for the people. Self-government requires freedom, just as freedom requires an individual willingness to self-govern. Freedom has made America exceptional, but it can only last as long as you and I seek the good, as expressed by the laws of nature and nature's God. It can only last if you and I choose to act as people of character. Forging character has been the pursuit of Hillsdale College since 1844. Hillsdale College forges character and elevates civic discourse both on campus and nationwide. To find out how you can take their free online courses or receive a complimentary subscription to Imprimis, a monthly speech digest, visit hillsdalefreedom.com. That's hillsdalefreedom.com.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses. And right now, listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/America. That's ZipRecruiter.com/America. One more time. To try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/America.
I wish we could let the music play, but we have Neil Ferguson on the line. Neil, where are you in the world?
I am sitting on the Stanford campus on a beautiful, sunny Californian morning.
Wow. I didn't know whether you were calling from Europe. I've lost track of you. You get around.
Well, I like to call myself the international man of history, but home is now the West Coast.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. We were talking earlier about you used the term globaloney. I'd never heard that before. But these utopianist strains among some thinkers always frighten me. That's what brings to mind people like Robespierre. But I think that we know that the genius of the American founders was working out a system that limited power, that sliced up power in such a way that there were checks and balances. That, to me, seems the danger of companies that have global ambitions. When you talk about a global community, the founders didn't really foresee the possibility of things like global virtual communities. And you can't really contain power or have checks and balances when you get to something so big. Is there anything there resonating with you?
I think that's right. Of course, in many ways, the founders were part of a global intellectual community. As I show in the book, there are extraordinary networks that connect Benjamin Franklin to some of the great thinkers of France and of England. And the Enlightenment was, in many ways, a global network of thinkers. But what we have today is something altogether larger, involving how many Facebook users now? More than 2 billion. We're close to a third of humanity being essentially on social networks. And I think what we're really trying to understand is, what does that imply for the planet? In the sense that nobody's really in charge, or at least the people in charge, such as Mark Zuckerberg, are mainly motivated by the need to generate advertising revenue, whatever they may say. I think there's some real issues. The other point is that if you are a global platform, if your basic mode of operation is to connect the world, you're bound to be hostile to a president who says that he doesn't believe in free migration and he doesn't believe in free trade, and he's skeptical of globalism. I mean, that tension has been there since 2016. And remember, from the vantage point of Silicon Valley, something really horrible happened. The president, the candidate, rather, that they most despised was the one who most successfully used their network platforms to secure victory. Facebook, Twitter, and the rest were really crucial to Donald Trump's victory. And I sense an attack of remorse. What have we done? And that, I think, has brought about a kind of overreaction. Now people in Silicon Valley say things, well, we can never let that happen again. We must make sure that next time, in other words, the liberals have the better of social media. Now, if they start putting fingers on the scale, tweaking their algorithms so that they essentially favor one candidate over another, that will be the point at which we have to look much harder at the power that they now enjoy. And I think that will come. I think William Randolph Hearst is the figure that Mark Zuckerberg reminds me of most. At one time, the most powerful publisher in American media, with an enormous number of newspapers. And there came a point when the public turned against him. After all, there's a reason Orson Welles made Citizen Kane about Hearst. Zuckerberg has to be careful that he doesn't repeat that history of amassing too much power, then beginning to abuse it, seeking his own political self-advancement, and ultimately triggering a backlash.
Well, yeah, I think that's well put. I guess I still worry that Google, YouTube, and so on, that they're already doing this, that it's not a matter of tweaking the algorithms for the next election, but that they're already censoring content or, shooting arrows across the bows of people like Dennis Prager. It strikes me as a stunning thing. And it's always in one direction, as you said. They
right.
tend to be liberal. And it's worrisome to me. And as an American Christian, I'm particularly worried, because I think that we're seeing the establishment of a religion, something the founders said should never happen. But in effect, the sexual revolution has created some ideologies that have the upper hand and that are working with the government to impose a worldview that's never happened before. And so in a way, everyone has to become educated about how this works and doesn't work, because it's already happening.
Secular religion. It's a curious thing in which certain liberal ideas have become quasi-religious. You cannot challenge them without being guilty of heresy. Only nowadays, you don't use the word heresy. You call it hate speech.
Yeah.
This is most obvious on American campuses where free speech has been under attack from what I'll call the religion of progressivism. And to be accused of hate speech is now equivalent to being accused of heresy in the early modern period. It's a terrible thing that will get you, if not burnt at the stake, then certainly thrown off campus and will have your meeting shut down. That's what troubles me. And if Silicon Valley had been true to the original project, which was a libertarian one, remember,
yeah.
that cyberspace would be a completely free space
yeah.
in which anything could be said, then I would be relaxed. But those libertarian principles, I think, are gradually yielding to a doctrinaire progressivism that means, ultimately, the internet is going to skew left.
Yeah.
The minute that happens, I think our democracy has a major problem.
Well, I agree. And I think that, you know, we don't even have to go back as far as the Middle Ages and burning people at the stake, that it's the same kind of heresy you saw in Germany in the early 30s, where if you didn't say Heil Hitler, people looked at you and they thought, well, what's wrong with you? You're not one of us. I mean, obviously, it carried on into in the communist world that if you joked about Stalin, people looked at you. It's the definition of a loss of freedom. The idea that certain views can be held, other views can't be held. And we're seeing that chilling effect now. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I just mentioned YouTube a couple of times, but you see it everywhere that some views, rather than take them seriously and disagree with them, people say, we won't even take them seriously. We won't even allow them to be spoken because they're beyond the pale. And, you know, you don't have to go to the alt-right or to white supremacy. I think that if you have a traditional view of sexuality, people look at you as though, you know, you're a bigot and you can't be in polite society. We're going to another break. Folks, forgive me. I'm talking to Neil Ferguson. The new book is The Square and the Tower. We'll be right back.
Don't go away. Please don't go. Don't go. I'm begging you to stay.
Hey there, folks. Have you ever wondered why the commitment level of Christians today does not seem to be the same as the level in, let's say, the first century? Well, there's a new book called Insurgents, Reclaiming the Gospel of the Kingdom from best-selling author Frank Viola, and it presents a new look at the kingdom of God that doesn't fit the progressive left or the conservative right. Insurgents unveils the explosive gospel of the kingdom that turned the world upside down in the first century, thus their stronger commitment level. And to be candid, it also explains why the commitment level of most Christians today pales in comparison to that of radical terrorists, for example, to a false cause. Read the book, Insurgents, by Frank Viola. After reading Insurgents, you will see how the kingdom of God advances on the earth and how to be radicalized to Jesus Christ. Incidentally, that's a good thing. You're invited to join the present insurgents that will truly shake the world again. Read the book, Insurgents, by Frank Viola, published by Baker Books and available wherever books and ebooks are sold. Insurgents by Frank Viola.
I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO of Wesley Financial Group and timeshare cancellation advocate. I was sued by the largest timeshare company in federal court for simply helping people cancel their timeshare that they had been lied to about. The jury sized me up and came back with a verdict after only 20 minutes. And yes, I won.
My husband and I are more than grateful to everyone at Wesley Financial Group. You know, thanks to Chuck and his team, we feel as though a weight has been lifted and we can move on without the worry of a troublesome timeshare.
Whether you owe $10,000 to $250,000 on your timeshare, it's my mission to get you out of your timeshare, eliminate your payments, and get them off your back permanently. And we proudly hold an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau.
Want to learn more about getting rid of your troublesome timeshare? Call Wesley Financial Group now for your free consultation. Call 800-902-5454. That's 800-902-5454. 800-902-5454.
I promise myself to treat myself and visit a nearby town. Climb into the top, to throw myself off in an effort to make it clear to who and to what it's like when you're shattered.
Hey there, folks. We're spinning the platters here. The young people demand this kind of music, and we want to draw them in. I'm talking to Neil Ferguson. The new book is The Square and the Tower. Neil, I don't know very much about you. Certainly my audience doesn't. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where did you grow up, and how did you end up where you are?
Born in Glasgow in Scotland in 1964. I have been fortunate in all the educational opportunity that my parents were able to afford me. And my story is really a rather dull one of universities and writing books. Oxford, Cambridge, Harvard, and now Stanford. And multiple books on subjects ranging from financial history to the history of the world wars. I can't say I've led an adventurous life. I've not done anything terribly brave, but I have tried my best to understand the world by using history to do so.
Well, it seems to me like you're polymathic in your leanings. Do you have family? Are you married with kids, or are you a single man?
I'm happily married to one of the most wonderful defenders of Western civilization in the world today, Ayaan Hirsi Ali, who's been extraordinarily courageous in defying Islamic extremists since her time as a member of parliament in the Netherlands. And we have two beautiful sons. So when you were talking earlier about these questions of free speech and the defense of freedom against the new Robespierres, yeah. I thought immediately of her, because yeah. My wife has regularly been accused of Islamophobia and threatened with the usual combination of death, or at least no platforming. In this world today, if you stand up against the threat of Islamic extremism, it's highly likely that you'll find yourself on the wrong end of an online mob of people denouncing you for your views. The thing that makes that scary is that that can lead to actual acts of violence by jihadists.
Well, certainly in the Netherlands, that's for sure.
And so, yes, I think these issues that we're talking about here have a particular salience for me. I don't worry too much about social justice warriors who want to disagree with me about my views on politics or economics, but my wife's views on religious freedom, on women's rights, the right, for example, the right of someone to leave Islam if they so choose without fear of death. That's serious stuff. And the people who threaten my wife represent a real menace, not just to her and to our children, but actually to freedom itself. So for me, this is why the whole story of networks and hierarchies is such an engaging one. We are living at a time when enemies of freedom, including freedom of religion, are growing increasingly powerful around the world.
No question.
And are capable of using violence to intimidate Christians as well as other religious minorities in the Middle East, in North Africa. My wife wrote a memorable cover story for Newsweek back at the time of the so-called Arab Spring, the war on Christians. And when you look at the devastation that has been wreaked on Christian communities because of an increasingly radical Islam in Middle East and North Africa, you see exactly what she's talking about. So these are concerns right at the heart of our family life.
Absolutely. And forgive me, we're out of time. And I'm embarrassed to hear you say to whom you're married, because I knew that and I had forgotten. Thanks for reminding me and telling my audience. Really, Neil, a great joy to speak with you. Congratulations on the new book, The Square and the Tower. And I look forward to speaking with you again as soon as possible.
Thanks very much indeed, Eric. It was a pleasure.
Folks, that is the program. We're sorry to be out of time, but we're out of time. Keep listening. Thank you.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.